Versys, Voice of the Cape, Drive Time. Going places. Getting there.
91.3, welcome back to Voice of the Cape, Drive Time, broadcasting to you live from Cape Town. The ongoing Nkandla saga has become the biggest political test for the president, and the latest police minister's report in parliament has not gone down well with opposition political parties and significantly civil society. Church leaders have denounced Zuma's poor ethical leadership, with some highlighting the far-reaching impact that the Nkandla affair could have on national efforts to end corruption and achieve moral regeneration. Someone who has weighed into this whole matter, in his latest opinion piece, is researcher, academic, analyst, historian, Professor Raymond Suttner. Professor Suttner has recently published a very interesting read. It's entitled Recovering Democracy in South Africa, published by Jacana. Professor Raymond Suttner, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, and good afternoon to your listeners.
We've read your op-ed. It's a very hard-hitting, it's a very incisive one. But I think what really jumped off the pages is in your third paragraph when you made the statement, not everyone who was reputed to be a struggle hero, in quotes, was in fact one. How does this fit into your whole narrative?
Well, that wasn't really meant to be a key feature of the article. Because the main object of the article was really to focus on how people were viewed. So even if someone wasn't actually a struggle hero, if they were viewed that way, how would people who watched the way the ANC leadership conducted themselves, how would people view these people, the real and the fake heroes, how would they react to their endorsing the Nkandla spending and repudiating some of the values that people associated with them, the ethics, the association with the plight of the poor, things like that. So what I was really asking is, when you make a decision to support something which you do not agree with logically, which you do not agree with ethically, but for some other reason you believe that your position depends on it, or other reasons, what does it do to your own self-respect, your own sense of dignity? That was what my article was about. A lot of people ask, how could so-and-so support this? So I'm not really focusing on who is fake, who is called a struggle hero, who's not really a struggle hero. I was just trying to carve the way for the broader argument, which is really that people came into the struggle because they believed that all people are entitled to dignity, and they conducted themselves with dignity, whether in prison or other places. And now, to find yourself supporting things like this, what does it do to your sense of dignity, your sense of self-respect? That's what I asked.
It is, in fact, an extremely valid question, because almost everybody over the years who I've talked to who's been involved in the struggle, it's quite amazing, actually. Everybody, the first word that come up is with dignity, right from the top, right to people who didn't play what could be regarded as prominent but important roles. And then comes self-respect and integrity. I mean, would you agree with that perception?
Yes. Well, you know, at the beginning of the article, I quote an interview that I once did with an old MK person, where he said, as a young boy, he grew up, he thought his father was the mightiest person in the world, till the police came into their house, and his father couldn't do anything. And he saw his father humiliated. Now, a lot of people grew up, they were politicized through seeing this undignified way in which their parents were treated, so that recovering dignity, recovering self-respect for yourself but also for others was a very, very important thing driving people. That is why it seems to me strange that people who put such weight on this in very dangerous situations, in prison, I mention how people like Mandela, and I was also in prison myself, we refused to run when they said, kom, and things like that. Now, since you've acted that out in the past, how do you feel now when you play out an indignity of simply being voting fodder in support of the Nkandla report of the Minister of Police?
It's a big question, isn't it? Because, I mean, I know lots of people, civil society, people, you know, members of public, who are not really that interested in politics. And Nkandla has got their radar going, but I think what's really got their radar going has in fact been the response to it, the complete denial and spinning to try and avoid to what most sensible people are facts on the ground. How damaging do you think it is to the society as a whole when you see leadership buckling to an agenda like this?
Well, you know, what we are really seeing is normalizing of illegality, because the president is supposed to be held accountable for spending, and ministers are supposed to be held accountable, and parliament is obliged under the oath of office to hold them accountable. So what they're doing is trivializing what is fundamental to one of the best constitutions in the world, a constitution that represented an historical gain for us in South Africa.
Now, there has been a mantra, and we know what's happened with the mantra in Parliament. I mean, people have got up and said, pay back the money, pay back the money, pay back the money.
Yes.
A lot of people have said that pay back the money mantra has been a trivial one. Isn't it rather the other way around, that the response to the mantra, pay back the money, has been trivial?
Yes, I think the value of the EFF conduct, which people say was undignified and all of that, but it's made part of public understanding that there must be accountability. And I think whatever we may think of the ESF, they managed to highlight. I don't think you can have permanent disruptions and all of this. I don't agree with that. But I think they managed to highlight the need to be accountable, so that I think that original call, pay back the money, is valid.
Looking at you know, the scenario that we deal with today, it seems to be an almost flippant rejection of any kind of criticism or even any suggestions. And I think what a lot of people are finding deeply concerning, I want you to comment on this, is the lack of respect for the Public Protector's Office. Whether we like the Public Protector or not, I think, is totally beside the point. Surely there is principle involved here. Your take on that?
Well, you know, the Public Protector is part of the question of having a constitutional democracy, and not respecting the Public Protector, not respecting the courts, is part of an undermining of a respect for legality. You know, there is debate, or let me say, it can be argued over whether or not the Public Protector's report is binding. Nevertheless, the courts have said, before you can reject it, you must have cogent reasons. Now, they have shown contempt. They've completely ignored what you said. Now, what this does is to bring the law into disrepute. If the leaders are behaving this way, why should ordinary citizens observe the law?
Professor Raymond Suttner, our special guest, talking to us about an op-ed that he's penned. If you go to his website, just Google RaymondSuttner.com, you'll get there. And on his personal website is the op-ed that he's written about Nkandla. It's an interesting reading from somebody who's been around the block several times. And if you want to hear what Professor Raymond Suttner has recently written, Recovering Democracy in South Africa, his latest book, it's available at Jacana Press. Professor Suttner, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much. By the way, that article is on the Polity website, polity.org. polity.org.za.
All right, polity.org.za. You'll find Professor Sutton's article. If you're interested in public affairs, it's worth a read. Professor, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for having me. Right, bye.